Today we're building a pitch-shifted old-school DNB edit in Ableton Live 12 using an automation-first workflow. And that phrase, automation-first, is the whole game here. Instead of stacking a bunch of clips and hoping the energy works out, we're going to design the movement directly. Pitch, filter, reverb throws, delay feedback, width, grit, all of it will be shaped with automation so the edit feels intentional, musical, and alive. This approach is perfect for jungle, 93-97 style drum and bass, darker rollers, and jump-up-inspired transitions. It gives you that classic sampler or tape edit energy, but in a clean modern Ableton session. So let's break down the workflow in a way that actually makes sense when you're building it. First thing, choose the right source sound. This matters way more than people think. You want something with character and some tonal information. A vocal stab works. A rave chord works. A dusty pad slice works. A piano hit can work. Even a breakbeat chop with some resonance can work. The best sources for the style usually have a clear pitch center and a bit of texture around the note. That's what makes the pitch movement feel musical instead of just random. If the source is too plain, the automation won't have much to grab onto. If it's too busy, the movement can get muddy fast. Now drop that sample into Simpler on a MIDI track. For this lesson, Simpler is a really strong choice because it gives you that sampler style feel without making the workflow messy. If your sample is longer or rhythmic, turn warp on. If it's a one-shot, you can keep it in one-shot mode. And if it's tonal, make sure your MIDI note mapping makes sense so you can actually play the pitch movement musically. A few good starting settings. Set Simpler to monophonic if you want clean pitch moves, maybe one voice only. Add a little glide if you want the notes to slide into each other. Something in the 20-80 millisecond range can give you that old-school swoop. And trim the start and end carefully before you automate anything. That little bit of prep saves you from clicks and weird pops later. Now before we start automating, build the device chain. A strong chain for this would be EQ8, Auto Filter, Saturator, Echo, Reverb, Utility, and then optionally Drum Bus or Redux if you want extra grind. The order matters. EQ8 first, because we want to clean up the source before we start moving it around. Auto Filter after that, because that's going to be your main motion control. Saturator next for weight and edge. Echo and Reverb for space and throws. Utility for width and gain control. And then Drum Bus or Redux, if you want to push it into proper jungle dirt territory. Think of this chain like a performance rig. We're not just processing sound. We're setting up a movement system. Start with the bass tone. On EQ8, high pass if the sample is muddy, usually somewhere around 80 to 150 Hz depending on the source. If there's harshness in the 2 to 5 kHz region, carve that a bit. If the source feels too dark, a very subtle high shelf can help. On auto filter, a low pass 12 dB curve is a great starting point, because it sounds smoother when you automate it. Put the cutoff somewhere around 300 Hz to 2 kHz depending on how closed or open you want the vibe. Add a bit of resonance, maybe 10 to 25%, and a touch of drive if the filter feels too polite. Saturator can bring it to life fast. Soft sine or analog clip are both good choices here. Add just a few dB of drive, maybe 2 to 6 dB, and turn on soft clip if needed. Keep the output balanced so you don't get fooled by the extra loudness. Echo is where the transition character starts showing up. Use a sync time like 1/8, 3/16, or 1/4 dotted, depending on the groove. Keep feedback moderate, around 15 to 35% to start. Filter the echoes so the lows stay clean and the highs don't get spitty. A little modulation can make the repeats feel alive instead of static. Reverb should support the atmosphere, not drown it. You're usually looking at a decay somewhere between 1.5 and 4 seconds, with a little pre-delay so the original hit stays defined. High pass the reverb return so the low end doesn't get cloudy, and roll off some highs if it's too bright. In the main body of the phrase, keep the wet amount low. Save the big wash for the transition moments. Now we get to the heart of the lesson. Pitch movement. There are a few ways to do this, but for old-school DNB, the most natural results usually come from simpler transpose automation or resampled audio clip transpose. That's because it behaves more like a real sampler or tape edit. It feels like something being performed, not just processed. If you automate simpler transpose, you can move it up a few semitones for tension, or down for that darker, submerging feel. A rise from 0 to plus 3, plus 5, or even plus 7 semitones can work really well. But don't just think in straight lines. Curves, stepped movement, and little asymmetric shifts often sound much more human and much more old school. A classic move is a rise into the drop over one or two bars, then a hard cut. Another good one is a quick tip style fall over a quarter note or half a bar. And if you want that chopped sampler feel, tiny up and down pitch nudges around the grid can make the edit sound alive. If you want even more control, resample the phrase to audio and then work with clip transpose or warped audino. That turns the performance into something you can chop, print, and rearrange like an actual old tape edit. It's a very jungle move. Bounce, chop, rebounce, and then tweak the result. Now switch to arrangement view and build a phrase, maybe 4, 8, or 16 bars long. A nice structure could be this. The first 4 bars are the atmospheric intro, filtered and restrained. The next 4 bars open up, with the pitch rising and the delay becoming more present. Then the following section gets more aggressive, maybe with a breakbeat or bass transition entering the picture. And finally, right before the drop, you throw the last hit into space and cut it clean. That's the key with this style. You're not just making sound bigger, you're creating a sense of release, and then snapping it shut before the impact. Let's talk about the main automation targets. Transpose is your big melodic gesture. That's the thing the listener will hear first, especially if the source is tonal. Use it as the emotional driver. Auto filter frequency is your fog to clear control. Start it relatively closed, then open it over time. You can bring the resonance up slightly before the drop to create tension. That little extra spike can make the filter sound like it's leaning into the transition. Echo feedback is perfect for throws. Keep it tame during the groove, then spike it on the last note or last hit before the drop. The trick is to push it enough to feel dramatic, but not so much that it turns into mush. Reverb dry slash wet is another great transition tool. Keep it subtle in the main section, then automate a bigger throw on a final hit or last phrase. Just remember to keep the low end out of the reverb. That's crucial in drum and bass. Utility width can help you create contrast. Narrow in the intro, wider in the build, then pull it back and for the drop if you want the drums to feel focused. In DNB, width contrast can be just as powerful as pitch movement, and saturator drive can be automated too. A tiny increase, as tension rises, can make the whole thing feel like it's pushing harder. That's one of those subtle moves that people feel even if they don't consciously notice it. A really important pro move here is to think in passes, not perfection. Do one pass for pitch, then do another pass for space, then a third pass for tone or width. That keeps the automation readable. If everything moves all at once, the listener just hears chaos. But if each pass has a job, the whole edit feels composed. Another huge tip: leave one element stable. If the pitched atmosphere is moving all over the place, keep the break or the sub relatively steady so the ear has something to hold on to. That contrast is what makes the motion feel powerful instead of confusing. Also, check mono early. A wide reverb tail can sound massive in stereo and then disappear when collapsed to mono. Don't wait until the end to find that out. Quick mono checks will save you from building a beautiful transition that falls apart on half the systems out there. Once the automation feels good, print it. Seriously, resample the pass. Record the output to a new audio track. Commit the performance. Then work with that audio like it's part of the arrangement, because now it is. This is one of the best ways to get that real old-school vibe, because classic jungle and rave edits often fell to live precisely because they were bounced, chopped, and rebounced again. After that, you can add breakbeat support. A chopped amen, a think break, or a break layered with crisp modern hats works beautifully here. Let the pitched atmosphere occupy the emotional high mids while the drums handle the momentum. If needed, use drum bus on the break bus to give it more weight, and keep your sub centered with utility or careful EQ. And then comes the payoff. Right before the drop, do a strong final automation gesture. Maybe the pitch rises by another few semitones. Maybe the filter opens fully. Maybe the echo feedback spikes for one last throw. Maybe the reverb blooms on the final note, and then cut it hard right before the downbeat. That hard cut is part of a drama. In drum and bass, sometimes the absence right before the drop hits harder than yet another effect sweep. You want the air to snap shut. That's the feeling. A really effective final bar recipe could be this. Push transpose up by 5 semitones, open the auto filter from a closed state to wide open, increase echo feedback, bring reverb, wet up briefly, and then cut the source just before the drop lands. Clean, sharp, and totally confident. A few common mistakes to avoid. First, don't automate too many things wildly at once. If pitch, filter, reverb, echo, width, and saturation are all going crazy, the idea gets lost. Pick one main movement and let the others support it. Second, don't let the low end get messy. Atmospheric edits can get huge, but DNB needs a clean sub. bypass the atmosphere, and keep the reverb and delay lows under control. Third, don't overwarp the sample. Too much warp abuse can strip the source of personality. Use it intentionally, and if it works, print it. Fourth, don't make the pitch motion too smooth. Perfectly linear glides can sound too clean. A little stepped movement or slightly curved ramp often sounds more like an actual old sampler. And fifth, don't leave too much reverb in the drop. Big ambience is great in the build, but the impact needs room to hit. If you want a darker, heavier vibe, try pitching down into the drop instead of always rising. That downward motion can feel grimier and more threatening, especially in darker rollers. You can also add subtle pitch instability, tiny width changes, and little gain dips to make the sound feel worn and mechanical, almost like tape instability without becoming obvious wobble.